Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, Larry Mueller here, and today we talk everything relating to orchids, selecting and growing them. We can talk about diseases. We can talk about how to get those orchids that you may have in your home looking better, or maybe you just want to know a little bit about orchids. I think there's been some impression over time that orchids are tough to grow. Some are, but there are many that aren't. Wayne King of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, teaches classes in orchid growing, and past president of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison is with us today to talk about everything orchids and to talk about Orchid Quest 2008, which is coming up February 2nd and 3rd in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center. So we'll learn about that. And we'll also take your questions, and I hope you join in. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, and you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Wayne King, nice to see you back.
Good morning, Laurie. It's nice to be back.
The Orchid Growers Guild. Maybe tell us about the Guild first.
Right? Sure. Well, the Guild has been in existence for about 22 years now. Most of its members are from South Central Wisconsin, and it's the second orchid society in Wisconsin. The first was the Wisconsin Orchid Society, and that existed for probably about 40 years now.
Oh, boy.
But I was a member of the Wisconsin Society before the Orchid Growers Guild existed, and a number of us just got together and decided that it was getting a little tedious to drive monthly to Milwaukee and back for meetings, and managed to get something going, and that's history.
Yeah, that's been a long time now.
It's been a long time, yes.
And the Orchid Quest itself, that started how many years back now?
Well, the first orchid show was at Westtown Mall, and that was in 1987 was the first one, so okay. we're coming on 22 years with, and then we lost space at the Westtown Mall because of administrative decisions to put more kiosks in, and some of our forward-looking members managed to enter discussions with the Alliant Energy Center and got it placed there, and it's been there for at least 12 years now.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful place to have have that event. I've been to many of those shows, and I love the shows there, especially this time of year to go in and see thousands of orchids.
Yes, that's right. There are that many.
And you can buy them and look at some wonderful displays. And if you're if you are an aficionado, you can learn quite a bit too.
So. Absolutely. You just need to hang around in the afternoons, both Saturday and Sunday, February 2nd and 3rd, and there are a number of talks on various topics relating to orchids.
Yeah, and we can talk about some of them as we go along, but you know what? Every one of our lines is filled.
Oh, my goodness.
But time to take some calls here. Let's first go to Don in La Crosse. Don, hello. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I got a nice orchid question. I don't know if you can answer for me or not, but I've got a full Phalaenopsis, whatever it's called.
Phalaenopsis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they bloomed for about 5 months anyway. And now I've noticed I'm getting little offshoots coming off the stem after they were blooming. Mm-hmm. Now, can I take and plant them offshoots?
Okay. There's a name for those offshoots off from the old flower spike, and they're called kikis. And yes, they are plants that are basically the same genetic character as the parent, and you can remove them and plant pot them up, but you need to be careful about your timing on that. First thing you'll get is the leaves, and they'll be small at first, and they will grow to full plant size if you leave them long enough. But the thing you need to watch for is the formation of roots at the base of the leaves, and that may take a while.
I've got some of them. I've already got the roots on them.
Okay. Well, those you could remove.
Do I just leave part of the stem on the plant yet and put it in the planting soil or not?
I would remove it with a razor blade or some sterile instrument right where the plant comes off from the flower spike.
Okay.
And then pot it up. About how long are the roots?
Oh, probably about an inch, maybe.
Yeah,
inch
well, that's good. That's a good time to repot those. So.
Okay.
Okay, and I have another question, too. Now, I've got two orchids, which have been doing really good. I got them in an east window. And I've got a lot of shoots coming off of them, that got buds on them. Now, one plant I've got has got actually four shoots coming off of them with buds on. Now, when they get done flowering, should I cut them shoots down? Because they seem to stay green all year long.
Are those also Phalaenopsis?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, Phalaenopsis, depending on the particular hybrid you have, one of two things can happen. The old flower spike can stay green, in which case it might reflower at some point, or it might form keikis, as you've already had happen with one of your plants. Or it may just turn brown and dry up, and that's no problem with your culture. It's just the habit of that particular hybrid.
So you can take that off if it browns and dries up.
I mean, could I cut them off and they're still green or not? Or would they bleed to death like what
no,
does it do?
No, there's no harm in doing it. It's really a matter of choice, partly aesthetics, partly whether or not you want additional blooms off from the old flower spike right away or you're willing to wait until new flower spikes form at the base of the plant.
Okay, but if you have three or four on there, isn't that sapping the juice out of the plant?
It could if you're getting a lot of flowering off from those or new plant formation on them, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it wouldn't hurt to cut them off then, huh?
No, it would not.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Don, for calling. Appreciate it. Donna in Eau Claire, we'll turn to you now. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a Phalaenopsis also.
Okay.
And I've had it for nearly 3 years. When I first got it, it bloomed, and it was just beautiful, and it hasn't bloomed since. I took it to a local gardener, and she had me repot it in some orchid mix, and I did that, and I also, it was around the time that it was supposed to flower, so I bought some fertilizer, and I had been fertilizing it. I have gotten, it continues to get new leaves, so it's still alive.
But it's not flowering, yeah.
It's not flowered since.
Okay.
Where is it growing?
Is it in an east window, a north window?
I first had it in a south window, and now I moved it to just indirect light.
Okay. It sounds like... there might be a couple of issues here. One is they do like to get some morning sun. You may need more light than it's getting right now.
Okay.
If you have an east window, that would probably be the best. And then the next would be west. And then for this time of year, particularly a south window would be might be a little bit too much light for it. The problem with south windows is they're great in the In the wintertime, as long as you keep the plant back a little bit from it, but in the summer, there's the sun has moved north and you're not getting much light there. So the first thing would occurs to me is to give it more light. And then the question I would have for you is what do you know what the formulation is on the fertilizer you're using?
I bought it from the person at the gardening store. I don't have it right now. But,
okay. Well. I can.
It was specifically for orchids.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's quite a number of formulations for orchids, and if you happen to have one that has higher first numbers than the second and third number,
okay,
which is a high nitrogen content, mm-hmm. Nitrogen tends to stimulate the plant for additional growth, new leaves particularly, and that's not bad if you don't want flowers, but the high middle number, which is phosphorus. Would be tend to maybe boost the flowering cycle of the plant a bit.
Okay.
So check that.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with a balanced fertilizer either, which is where all the numbers are about the same.
Okay.
But you don't want one with a high nitrogen number and low phosphorus,
right.
Potassium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had bought it from her, and she said that this is the one that will encourage bloom.
Now, okay. Take a look at the numbers.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks a lot for calling. And Mary and Oliva, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm looking forward to Orchid Quest. I go every year, and I love the presentations.
Oh, they're beautiful, aren't they?
The talks.
Yeah.
By the experts.
Oh, the talks. You love the talks. Okay.
Some of them have been to so many different places and have native orchids. I enjoyed that lady's question about the passipetal, or what did she have? Phalaenopsis?
Phalaenopsis.
And I wondered how often you're supposed to water those.
Well, that, there have been a number of articles written about watering, and there's a certain art, you might say, to this.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many variables involved in determining that. One is the state of your potting mix. If it's relatively fresh mix, and you're using orchid potting mix with fir bark, particularly as a main ingredient. And as I say, if it's fresh, you don't need to water it more than once a week, but you need to flood it well once a week.
Mm-hmm.
If the plant hasn't been repotted for a while and the mix is older, it tends to retain moisture longer, and therefore watering it once a week even might be too often. Now, partly the unscientific way of checking this is to plunge your finger down into the mix and see if it feels moist, maybe a couple of inches down into the potting mix. Because sometimes potting mixes can seem like they're dry, and that dryness is just on the surface, and yet down further into the mix, it would be more moist, and that could lead to root rot if that moisture.
I bet you could smell it, too.
You probably could if it was in too bad a state of decay.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I would check first is if the mix is not in that greatest shape, I would just go ahead and repot it. That's one of the nice things about Phalaenopsis is you can repot them almost any time, except I'd kind of advise against when they're in flower. But get a new potting mix in there, and then you can, water it once a week, and that's fine.
My question was about passipetalums. I have one of those terrestrial patterned leaf, the warm passipetalums.
Yes, uh-huh.
It looks dry and struggling. It has a new leaf, but it's kind of a pitiful new leaf.
Mm-hmm.
No discoloration, just sad.
How long have you had it?
A year.
A year, okay. Was it in flower when you got it?
Yes.
Uh-huh, okay. You haven't repotted that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. And where are you growing it?
In a flower room with natural light and artificial light.
Okay, so
and a humidifier.
Okay. I would be careful not to get it too wet.
Uh-huh.
And keep it too wet. It's not like a Phragmopedium, which is another type of lady slipper, but
I have those blooming.
Okay, great. So the paths you need to keep a little more on the drier side, and as long as you repotted it, that's good. Your lighting, you're saying the leaf coming out is fairly small, and it
yes.
And how long is it, have you had a new leaf coming on it?
That little leaf has been there in that situation, that size, for a long time.
Okay. And do you fertilize it?
Yes.
Okay. About how often?
I put the Osmocote granules in there.
Okay. Then what I'd suggest further is maybe if you can increase the light intensity just a bit.
A little light?
Uh-huh.
What about something like humidity, like a terrarium or something?
They like to have a lot of air circulation, so a terrarium can be a problem in that the air can become stagnant in it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I would, if you have air movement around it, that would be good too.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck, Mary. Thank you very much for calling. Wayne King, our guest today from Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, past president of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison, as we talk with him about selecting and growing orchids. You can join in. We have a few open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking orchids today on this edition of Garden Talk with Wayne King. Pleased to have him along, Larry Mueller here. You can join in, too, again at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 563-1890. And let's turn to Margot next in Glendale. Hi, Margot.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have want to put in a plug for competition for February 2nd. Milwaukee Audubon is having their 28th Natural Landscaping Conference.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Larry, you have always pushed this program
yep.
on your program. So it is going to be at Cardinal Stretch starting at 7:45 is registration,
mm-hmm.
and it goes until 3:30 at Cardinal Stretch in Milwaukee, February 2nd.
And
the topic is going to be protecting and restoring the water belt of the of our nation
mm-hmm.
on the Great Lakes.
Excellent. Okay. Is there a website or someplace where people
can... Yeah, there is a website.
Okay.
It's www.milwaukeeaudubon.org.
MilwaukeeAudubon.org.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Thanks for calling. All right, another event. Let's go to Jackie in Lake Geneva next. Hi, Jackie.
Hi there. I have a question about dendrobiums. I have had several little ones and a couple of bigger ones, and it seems like the roots die off easy. Now, I've been told that's because I have been too kind and overwatered them. So I've been reading on the net in some orchid forums about a process called fag and bag that's supposed to help help those critters maybe get their roots back. And I'm wondering if you could tell me anything about that.
I'm not familiar with that particular potting medium, but dendrobiums generally do like a couple of things. They like to have a fairly coarse potting mix.
Mm-hmm.
They like to be tightly potted so that they fit into the pot very snugly.
Mm-hmm.
And
anything you can do to encourage roots, or when you see that all the stalks all look green, you know, but the
right.
roots are just all spongy. I've cut those off because I know they're not any good.
Those are aerial roots, right, you're talking about?
Well, they're at the bottom of the plant.
Oh, they're at the bottom.
I'm learning. This orchids are one of the things I put on my bucket list. I'm 58, and this is on my bucket list, so I am going to learn about these. I've had good success here and there over my life, you know, but it's almost like the best success I had was in the draftiest, coldest house I've ever lived in. And when everything's sealed tight, I think it's sometimes that's even harder.
You know, sometimes it's been said that we baby our plants too much, and
yeah.
especially true with orchids. Now, dendrobiums, you may know this, most of them tend to have a rest cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've fallen prey to this problem, and I know lots of other dendrobium growers have too. There are many orchids that you can water year-round. Dendrobiums are not one of those. And when they lose their leaves particularly, and all there is left are the
dead-looking
the canes, right, it's just gone into a rest period. And if you water them when they're resting, that's when you can get root rot because they're just not growing during that time.
Okay.
So you need to back off the watering less frequent when they're in rest and maybe even just miss them.
So when they lose all their leaves, they're going into rest.
They're going,
is that a particular time of the year, season?
It can vary, but I would say it's normally after they flower.
Okay.
Probably within the month or so after they flower.
Okay. I have one that it's the first dendrobium I've been able to bring into full bloom. It's really gorgeous. As the all seven flowers are finally open, I notice on the cane that has all the flowers, the leaves are turning yellow already. Is
so,
that normal?
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's fine.
Okay.
Now, you're probably aware that there's two different types of dendrobiums. There are the cool growers and the warm growers.
No.
The cool growers have the flowers coming right out of the canes, the upright canes.
Mm-hmm.
And the warm growers send flower spikes off from the canes, and at the end of those flower spikes, then that's where the flowers appear.
So I have short stems coming out at the top of this cane. It's about a foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a warm or a cool grower.
It sounds like it's a warm grower. How long are the flower spikes off the top of the cane?
They're not, just a couple of inches.
Uh-huh. And it's difficult to say.
Two to three inches, maybe.
Uh-huh. A lot of the warmer growers will have flower spikes 6, 7, 8 inches long. And it's real difficult to say. Yours sounds like, there are some hybrids that are intermediate types now, so
mm-hmm.
yours might be one of those. Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. So don't water when they lose all those leaves and just keep the faith. How do you know when you should start watering those again?
When you see new green growth coming off the bottom.
And mm-hmm. if that cane shrivels?
Well, you don't want it to shrivel too much, and that would be the whole purpose of misting it or lightly watering every now and then to help try to keep them firm.
Like every couple
of
weeks?
A little bit of moisture, but not real true watering.
Yeah, not like you would when it's in full growth.
Okay, it's the shriveling, I think, that makes us think we killed it and it's done.
Yeah, and that you need to protect a little bit against.
Okay, great.
Thanks very much.
All right, Jackie, thank you for calling. You can join in, too. We've got open lines to get you on fast here at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Call in with your orchid question or maybe a question about the Orchid Quest 2008. Again, that Saturday and Sunday, February 2nd and 3rd, from 10 to 5 p.m. at Exhibition Hall at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. It's one of the best orchid displays in the Midwest, along with orchids and orchid supplies for sale, of course, from vendors. And I tell you what, I have never been there that I didn't walk away with at least one, and mostly more than one orchid. It's really a great show, Wayne.
Yeah, I think I could say the same.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned that they really enjoyed the presentations.
Yes.
And what are some of the things that you're going to be talking about? I think you're going to be talking about how to turn those sick orchids into healthy ones.
There's the usual mixture between the esoteric and the commonplace, as there has been over the years. I think that there's an interesting one on Sunday at 1 o'clock, which would be for just about everybody, I think, interested in orchids, and that would be titled How Not to Grow Phalaenopsis, and a lot of us would like to know that. Some of the other topics are a little more esoteric for people who have been growing for quite a while. There's one on vanilla orchid identification. There's one on, encyclias, mm-hmm. Which are a type of Cattleya in the Cattleya Alliance. There's one at 1 o'clock on Saturday also that is of general interest to orchid growers, and that is entitled Turning Your Sick Orchids into Healthy Flowering Plants.
Yeah.
I think that...
That would interest a lot of people.
That's something we all would like to know.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, let's take some more calls, and then we can talk some more about Orchid Quest, too. But Richard in Neshota is up next. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for taking my call. I have one comment and one question.
Okay.
The comment, for people who want a backup on how much water you're giving your orchid, orchidgeeks.com has talked about using bamboo skewers that you can pick up for cooking, stick them into the medium, and after you water, the bamboo skewer absorbs the water below the surface. And when you pull the skewer out, you'll feel how wet it is, and that's an indication of whether you need how dry it's getting, and mm-hmm. whether you need to water which species, how often, and that kind of thing. So it's a useful backup.
Yeah.
The other thing was I bought some two different species of orchids from one of the Chicago area growers. And when I got them home, I noticed I had some black spots on it, on both of them. I sprayed them with a fungicide, and one of them, it's cleared up. The other one, a Cattleya, it seems like the black spots are more inside of the leaf than on the outer surface. So I don't know if that's a fungicide or not. But do I keep a fungus? Do I keep spraying that periodically until the stuff goes away, or is that due to burning or something else?
Well, one of the things that I've found, and part of the basic culture of orchids, is that once the fungus has set in on, let's say, an older leaf, which is not actively growing, you're not going to be able to change much. And the reason for spraying at that point is to prevent it from developing on new leaves that are just inactive growth.
Okay.
So it's if you don't have a plant in active growth, then the function of spraying a fungicide would be to as a preventative for new growth.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Richard. And Lori in Appleton is next. Lori, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I am calling about my chocolate orchid, and I'm afraid I don't know the proper name. It was given to me. She's not too happy with me and has not flowered since I first got her. I have it in a southern exposure window, which is filtered by two tall pine trees, but it does tend to get quite cool. The Phalaenopsis that I also have tends to do fine, but this chocolate orchid is just kind of green leaves, but sometimes they tend to yellow, so I don't know if it's just too cool or I'm overwatering.
Well, it is it is an Oncidium orchid, and the most common one that has a chocolate scent to it is called Sherry Baby. But there are some others that have been made with Oncidium Sherry Baby that also have a chocolate scent. But in any event, it would be an Oncidium. And it's the type that likes a fair amount of light and also warmth. So I would say if you can keep it above 60 degrees and it probably and give it a little more light, it probably will do better for you. The yellowing is not unusual. The older leaves, some of them at least, will fall off on those plants. But it's a plant that probably won't start coming into new growth until for another month or two, I would think.
I see.
Okay,
well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Lori. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And don't forget you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. Just to mention on the Orchid Quest 2008, I know every year you have many displays, and I assume that's the case again this year.
Yeah, we use just about all the space that's available to us, and we have normally in the neighborhood of 24 displays and also about 24 vendors of orchids and supplies.
Yeah, it's a great group of people. Well, let's take some more calls. Joy in Madison, I believe, is next. Hi, Joy. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
I haven't been to the show lately, but it's always been wonderful when I have gone. And I guess I want to say two things. First, if there's anybody listening who doesn't yet know orchids, I think it's a much better get-well present than a bouquet of flowers. It's about the same price. But, you know, those orchids bloom so long that you almost get bored with them.
Wonderful. Then what you do is buy some more.
Yeah.
Right. Now, here's my question. I apologize if it's too general a question, but I have found that my taste run towards the spotted, jungly-looking ones. I don't care for the more formal uptown ones that are all purple and all that. So, but I want something that's really easy. If I wanted a jungly-looking, wild, but very easy orchid, what would you suggest?
Jungly, you're talking about spots, like leopards.
Right, spotty and
camouflage
colors, you know.
Well, it's interesting that just about every type of orchid these days has, there are some varieties of them that have spots. Even the Phalaenopsis, which normally comes in a pink and a white, there have been hybridizing with them, And there are many now that have splashes and spots on them as well. So, you know, cattleyas have been bred to have spots and phalaenopsis. And the most common type that traditionally have had spots are in the Oncidium Alliance, Odontoglossums, Oncidiums, and multi-generic hybrids from those. And at Orchid Quest, you most certainly will find a lot of different types of orchids that have spots.
Yeah. So you better take it.
The fails are the easiest, would you say, pretty much?
Well, they're the more traditional. If you're the rugged type, I would go for cattleyas because they're really heavy and hard to injure. But the phalaenopsis are the most popular and most available generally.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. There is a small fee for getting into Orchid Quest 2008. If I'm not, I know there's a fee. I don't remember how much it is.
Yeah, it's $6 for adults, and a 2-day pass would be $9. So if you decide to spend the weekend there, you get a little discount.
Kids under 12 are free, and a buck off for seniors.
Right, exactly.
So we've got all of that as well. And Wayne, I always enjoy asking you when you're on about your own orchid situation, and you've got quite a collection at your home.
I have orchids everywhere. I had my sons help me build a greenhouse in the backyard, and for years I would move plants into it probably in April and then back into the house in October, and then about 6-7 years ago, I put a heater in there, so now I don't have to do that as much. But I have a lot of lighting in the basement where I have a plant room. In fact, I have two plant rooms in the basement. And then when they flower, I bring them upstairs and put them in the picture window so I can enjoy them more.
Yeah. And for lighting, that's a question that comes up. Some people ask, what about something like fluorescent light? Is fluorescent light something that you can use?
Well, for years, I have, in fact, still am using the ordinary shop lights that you can get at a lumber yard, home repair place.
Menards type place or whatever.
Mm-hmm, sure. And those have fluorescent lighting in them. And usually they recommend two shop lights with two bulbs each, 4 foot, and they're inexpensive is the nice thing about them.
Yeah.
You can buy more expensive bulbs, but my own experience and talking with others that have used them is that if you go to the full spectrum or plant lights bulbs in them, they cost, you know, several times more than the ordinary cool white fluorescents and don't seem to do a whole lot better with those than with the cool whites. So.
Okay. Nancy in Ridgeland has got a question for you, I believe. So let's go to Nancy. Nancy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Oh, suffering from a cold, otherwise fine.
I inherited two orchids from a place, a flower shop, and they were practically on their, you know, they were practically dead. So I thought, well, I'm just going to try and revive them, see what happens. One of them is a plant that looks like what I would consider to be an orchid. A friend of mine has a bunch of orchids, a thick leaf sort of succulent sort of leaves. One of the leaves has now turned yellow, and I assume it's just going to fall off. Shall I cut it off, or shall I just let it fall off? That's one question. And then someone just called in about black spots, and two of the leaves have black, kind of black spots that have died out, but I couldn't tell if they were just damaged, and they had, you know, gotten damaged, but now I hear there might be a fungus issue. And so that was a second question.
Okay.
And then I do have one third question afterwards.
Okay.
And on the first issue, you have, one or more leaves that are yellowing?
The one, and it was badly damaged and bruised and so on. But I didn't know if the plant was pulling energy out of it, that it should keep it, or if I should cut it off.
And chances are the plant is not deriving any benefit from it. And if you leave it, it will fall off eventually. But if it's obviously unsightly.
And it doesn't bother me too
okay,
much.
Okay. Well, it'll take care of itself. I mean, it will fall off if you don't do anything with it.
Okay, well, I might cut it off. All right, okay.
Yeah. Now, I do want a general comment on the plants that you got. You don't know how long they've been in the potting mix that you have.
I repotted them.
Okay, excellent.
I got an orchid mix and did repot both of them and put holes in the bottom, and I did get information from my friend to flush the water through them and that sort of
great.
Thing.
That's
so that part I do know.
That's the standard question I ask of everyone that has some question about their plants and how to grow them. Let's see. The second issue was
black spots.
And are those on old leaves?
They're on the two newest leaves, but they don't look like they're getting any bigger. And two of them were along the edge of the margin of the leaf, and the black is now gone. It's like it maybe it was damaged and just fell off, and now it's sealed around those edges. So it doesn't really look like a fungal issue, but I just wanted to kind of check and be sure.
Yeah, it's difficult. When you got the plant, that was on it?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's difficult to say for sure what it is from. Sometimes it's sunburn. That can darken portions of the leaf, especially coming through a window that acts like a lens, in particular part of the leaf.
Would you be able to look at a digital photo if I were to email you one?
Yeah, sure.
And tell what that would be?
Yep.
And what address would I send that?
You can send it to WAYKING at Prodigy, PRODIGY, .net.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And then the second plant that I have looks more like a leaf that looks like a corn leaf to me. It's not the thick succulent leaf, but it's like a corn leaf. That plant I don't think is going to make it, but I guess what I want to know is if there's any green on the thicker part that goes into the potting soil. Do I just keep watering it and keep hoping? The leaves themselves are kind of drying up, but there's a thicker part that it's like an oval shaped thicker part that goes into the main part of the plant down to the rootstock.
So
and those are still somewhat green.
Do you know if those are orchids or not?
Yeah, they were rose flowering when I got them.
Okay, so they have like a bulb.
I would say it's a thickening. The leaf comes down, looks like a grass blade, to about 3 inches from where it enters the soil.
Okay.
Then it gets thicker and more ovate.
Okay. It might be a Cattleya species. There's just a number of possibilities. There are a number of different types of orchids that grow that way. And let's get back to your question, though, on it. Your question was...
The leaves are drying up, and I'm not sure that it's going to live, but when you were talking about a resting plant a little bit earlier, I thought, well, maybe this one is just going to, because it was so stressed that it might just be going to rest, and then it might come back. Should I just keep hoping for the best?
How often do you water it?
I've been watering them about every 4 to 5 days because my house is really dry.
And is the potting mix for that one also quite fresh?
I potted them both in the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well... Without knowing exactly what type of orchid it is, because there are a number that fit that description, I would try to keep it a little on the dry side.
Okay.
And as far as the leaves are concerned, if it has a bulb, and are the leaves coming off from the bulb?
The leaves come directly from that thicker part, yes.
Yeah, okay, off the top of it, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It may be a root problem.
Okay.
It wouldn't hurt it to just take the potting mix out momentarily and make sure that your roots are not mushy or collapsing.
Okay.
And if you do have any mushy, if you have any that are mushy, just
get rid of them. Huh?
Yeah. Cut them off, the good healthy roots will be firm and we'll produce the growth for you in the future.
All right.
I very much appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nancy, for calling. Appreciate it. Wayne King, past president of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison, our guest here today on Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking orchids today on this edition of Garden Talk with Wayne King of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. Also talking about Orchid Quest 2008 that's coming up Saturday and Sunday, February 2nd and 3rd. From 10 to 5 at Exhibition Hall at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. It's a great orchid display there, one of the best in the Midwest. Orchids and orchid supplies for sale from vendors, so you've got lots to see and do at Orchid Quest 2008. But if you have a question right now about orchids, we'd welcome your calls. The number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1234. In Madison, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, and email us at talk@wpr.org. Someone was wondering, Wayne, whether anybody is growing native orchids in Wisconsin.
Oh, yes. There are increasing number of opportunities to do that, and we have a number of people who have been so interested in it that they have been able to learn how to grow them from seeds and make them available to the public so that there's less of an opportunity for people to extract them from the wild because we want those wild orchids to stay in place and enjoy them the way they are. So, yes, it takes a long time to grow a wild orchid from seed, but there are a number of places where they can be obtained, and some are more challenging as with any other type of orchid than others, but the yellow lady slippers are real kind of standard and probably among the easiest to grow. And the next type that I think would be suitable for the gardener would be the Cypripedium reginae, which is the state flower of Minnesota, which is a pink lady slipper. And I've had a little success with both of those, and I know a number of members of the Orchid Growers Guild that have done that and are doing it.
Some people, I think, are surprised to know that there are orchids that grow wild in Wisconsin.
Well, and that's not surprising because it's rare when you see them in the wild. I mean, they're isolated and they're located in only certain areas, and they tend to bloom at only certain times of the year and usually for a fairly short period of time. And also I found some patches that I've found might skip years in blooming. So you'd go there 1 year and really enjoy them and go back the next year and they're not there at the same time. So they're peculiar, but they're certainly beautiful.
Yeah, they no doubt are. And I was just trying to remember if you had those for vendors, somebody that might sell that seed, but
let's
take a check on that.
Yeah, I think that Scott Weber at Blue Stem Farm could help people there. He's a vendor there.
Okay.
And he actually grows them from seed and does a wonderful job with it.
Okay.
And has several different varieties actually available. I'm looking down the list here to see.
No one for sure, anyway.
Yeah, and Scott is in Wisconsin, comes from the Baraboo area, and in fact has a farm where he has identified a number of different native orchids and sustains them. So.
Oh, that's great. And he'll be at Orchid Quest.
He'll be at Orchid Quest.
All right. Well, let's go to Pat in Land O'Lakes next. Pat, hi to you.
Hi. See, I was wondering, lady slipper orchids, how long do they bloom? Or how often?
Well, there's several different types of lady slippers. There's the Southeast Asian, which are called paphs or paphiopedilums. There's the South American lady slippers that are called phragmopediums, or frags for short. And then there are native terrestrial orchids from even Wisconsin or China or places like that that are called cypripediums.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different lengths of blooming depending on which kind you're talking about. But I would say that on a good average, probably 2 weeks.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had some outside that my husband accidentally weed whacked some of them down. Will they come back?
Yes, they will, depending on if they were weed whacked after they were in flower.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine. They have tubers that stay under the ground all year, and then the flowering season on those would be, of course, probably May is the most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, they'll, of course, send up leaves and spikes, and I have the yellow ones at home, and those flower mid to end May.
Oh, I see.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Tell a good day.
Have your husband watch out with that weed whacker.
Yes. A good idea.
All right, Pat. Thanks. Joan and Baraboo, your turn now. Hi, Joan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yep. Know Scott and Muffy Weber very well, and they're wonderful, wonderful people. They live in the Baraboo Hills, which is a neat place to go visit them, and they have all kinds of orchids available. I think the ones I've enjoyed the most are little bitty ones because I don't have a lot of space to put these in because the space has to be right for the orchid.
Yeah.
But the Tway Blades and the Showy Orchises are beautiful little orchids, and if you put them in a place where you can get down on your hands and knees and look at them, they're beautiful, and they're very easy to grow. And then I have a question. Do you have any advice for people like me who cannot stand walking by the orchids that are being practically discarded at Walmart? I can never go in there without heading for the plant department, and there's always these poor Phalaenopsis, and they're just, and I always feel so sorry for them, and every time I bring one home, I lose it.
Yeah.
Well, you're rare in admitting that. I won't admit to it, but if you talk to my wife, I think you'd get a different story. And about Scott, you know, absolutely a great guy.
And he makes great music.
Well, yeah, but he's also involved in the restoration of native orchids in Wisconsin.
Right. He works with, I'm right down the road from Nina Leopold Bradley, and probably less than a tenth of a mile from the new center.
Oh. Yes.
And I'm so blessed because to know these people and be able to rub shoulders with them is just a miracle.
You are.
Well, Tina, do you have a question again? I forgot.
Yeah, I wanted to know, is there something I should be looking for when I'm looking at these wretched orchids?
Okay, yeah.
Well, one thing you want to, it's not hard to judge whether a plant is healthy or not, usually. But what you want is you want something that probably not only has flowers but has some buds on it yet.
Uh-huh.
So when you get it home, as the flowers fade, and oftentimes you don't know how long it's been in flower when you buy it.
Well, usually when I see them, the flowers are gone,
yes.
And they're relegated to the back corner of the garden center.
Yeah, and sometimes those are the bargain plants. Then.
Yeah, and I don't know if I should just try tipping them out of the pots to see what their roots look like or...
Well, I guess you could, but certainly anybody who buys a plant, whether it's in flower or not, when it's not in flower and you have it at home, you certainly should do that immediately. I mean, you shouldn't let it sit in that potting mix very long because a lot of growers are interested in keeping the plant alive and healthy while it's in market. But they're not looking at the long run, and so each grower has that responsibility to take that plant and freshly repot it in fresh orchid potting mix when it goes out of flower.
Okay.
And I would say the same thing would be true for one that's not in flower when you get it.
I mean, they've had some absolutely beautiful plants, and then they don't take care of them properly.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, it's rare for a place that has a garden center with maybe a shelf or two of orchids to have somebody who really knows anything about them.
Yeah. I've heard that when you're looking at orchids, now we're just talking about ones that even look healthy, the pot got me. If you jiggle the pot, I've heard, and if it wobbles, that's a bad sign.
Oh, okay, that's a good clue.
The orchid should sit firmly in the pot. Now, well, I don't know if that's a good clue or not. Is that a good? Well, I want to ask. That's what I've heard.
Well, it's not necessarily so, and the reason is that some of these orchids are potted in sphagnum moss.
I've seen those. Yes, and what I lose right away.
And part of the problem with sphagnum moss is that people pack them in so the plant doesn't shake around like that.
Oh.
And when that happens, you're restricting airflow through the sphagnum,
gotcha.
And the roots rot very quickly. So
But they stand up long enough to be sold.
Well, they're quite contrary to what Larry was saying. Those particular ones probably don't jiggle around very much because they're packed in there.
I gotcha.
So you need to be aware of that, too.
It's more to think about.
Well, I'll keep trying. I just, you know, I cannot bear to see them on the discard pile.
Yes, I know. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And do have people get in touch with her. I think he's probably doing a talk.
Yes, he is.
His photography is beautiful. His plants are wonderful. And you couldn't find a nicer person to do business with.
Yeah. Just stop by his table there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'd be real interested in talking with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Joan. Thanks very much for calling. And we actually have Bluestem Farm. We had a website for him. You probably take a look at some of it. It's Bluestem, the whole word, and then there's an underline and farm. So it's Bluestem underline farm at Juno.com. Juno.com. We're talking orchids today. Taking some more calls. Like callers online and stay with us. We'll be here until 12:30 with Wayne King, past president of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Wayne King of Cottage Grove, past president of the Orchid Growers Guild of Madison. Of course, we're talking selecting and growing orchids with him. Give us a call with your questions at 800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Steve in Brown Deer has been waiting a while. Steve, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi, Larry and Wayne. I just had a suggestion for the lady who was buying the plant at Walmart.
Yeah.
She might want to find herself a good quality local florist and support our wholesale and retail florists in the area. It's just, I think it's a shame when I go into these home centers and they have plants that they're selling and they're just not the kind of quality that I know they could be.
Yeah.
So I really feel it's we have some great florists in the area and we should be supporting them.
That's a good point, and I think that's one of the things about Orchid Quest 2008 and something that you guys have always had is a lot of local growers.
Yes, that's right. From most of them are from Wisconsin or Illinois, and they're engaged in hybridizing most of them, creating their own orchids. And frankly, I found that for me, orchids that are raised in the Midwest do better for me than if I buy them, in other locations.
Yeah, from other locations. So Steve makes a great point.
Yes.
There.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Mary in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Well, good morning. My call is a very good one as a follow-up to everyone else who's been calling in. I, too, am a soft touch for orchids that need extra care. And I was at a local greenhouse in Milwaukee, and the place is kind of winding down. And I succumbed to buying a Vanda. Now, my impression of Vandas is that they are naked in a basket with the roots hanging loose. And mine appears to be in bark or potting soil. I'm wondering if I can keep a Vanda alive in Wisconsin in the winter.
You can. You have to describe your growing conditions just a little bit, because one of the things that happens in Wisconsin winters is the air gets very dry unless you have a way to keep the humidity up around the plant. I know people who have been very successful growing Vandas in their window in the winter, and what they do is they take it over to the sink and they water it, if it weren't in a basket, I would say every day, but since yours is in a basket, one of the things that's good about that is that the mix in the basket helps to keep the humidity around the plant, because when it's wet, it expands the area of high humidity around the roots. So that's the most important issue with Vandas, is keeping that humidity up. And I know of one Midwest grower who recommends that the Vandaceous plants be grown in a pot in mix for that very reason. I grow mine in the greenhouse where I can water them, you know, at least once a week, and there's fairly high humidity in there.
Yeah.
And that's why they do well there. I also recommend that when, say, in late May or early June, you hang it outside under a tree.
Okay.
Where it gets some sunlight, but also gets a lot of fresh air movement, and they do very well. It might take a month or two for them to start showing a lot of life because they've, you know, been in an area where they haven't had that much light or water or air movement.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. What month did you say? When would you normally take them out?
Normally I take them out toward the end of May. When the danger of frost is minimal.
Yeah.
The nice thing about them is if you do get a cold night or two, you can just bring them in temporarily for the night until it warms and put them back out there again.
All right. Let's go to Lucille in Algoma next. Hi, Lucille.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I got a orchid as a gift last summer, and it's been doing good. It stopped flowering. It's still in the original pot, which is only 4 inches. I'm wondering about repotting it. How large a pot should I get, or if there's a certain type of pot?
Yeah.
Do you know what type of orchid it is?
Phalaenopsis.
Okay. Well, my own preference for type of pot for Phalaenopsis is a plastic pot, mainly because it keeps the humidity better. The clay pots tend to lose humidity fairly rapidly through pores in the clay. Repotting, I think, would be real important. And what I would be sure you got some orchid potting mix that's fresh.
Uh-huh.
And when you unpot it, the first thing you want to do is, you know, wash the roots off so they're nice and clean and all the old potting mix is gone. And then check the roots, because you may find one or more that are mushy and decayed.
Okay.
And you want to remove those before you repot.
Right.
So the size of the pot is going to depend on the size of the root mass. The plant, if it's been growing in its potting mix for some time, will have roots that are all wound up and inside the pot.
It must be, because it's only a 4-inch pot.
Yeah,
the leaves are large.
Exactly. So you may want, as the outset, to go to at least a pot size that's 1 inch or more in diameter larger, because
okay,
if you have healthy roots, they're going to more than fill it up.
Okay.
But if you end up having to remove quite a few, then you may not need quite such a large pot. So.
Okay.
But have a couple pot sizes ready. I would say maybe a 5-inch and maybe a 6-inch, just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have one other question. When do you look for the lady slippers? I grew up in Minnesota, and we used to see them wild, and I love them. And I was wondering if there's a certain time of year you would look for them.
Yeah, most of them come out, depending on where in Wisconsin, but certainly in the southern half of the state, you can see them in flower early June.
Uh-huh. I wondered if they sold them like in flower shops or greenhouses.
You won't find any native orchids in greenhouses.
Okay.
Earlier we talked about Scott Weber in Baraboo, Blue Stem Farms, who grows them from seed. And has several native varieties that he has available.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And he'll be at Orchid Quest. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Heather in Colfax, your turn. Hi, Heather.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a dendrobium that I've had for about a year now, and I got it from a flower shop / nursery. And it's starting to, well, it's not starting. It lost about a third of its leaves all within a week. It had been doing real well for the past year, and then the leaves turned yellow and they had brown spots on them, and then they fell off.
Well, many of the dendrobiums, maybe most of them, are what we call deciduous dendrobiums. And just like deciduous trees, when they move out of their active growth period into a rest period, excuse me, one of the functions is that the leaves start to fall, just as they do with deciduous trees. So that's not a problem with culture. That's just a natural thing with deciduous dendrobiums. And what you want to do when that happens is you want to back off the watering. You want to keep it on the dry side until you see new growth coming, and at that time you can start your full watering and feeding cycle.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Mary in Cross Plains, we turn to you now. Hi, Mary.
Hi there, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have about 10 Phalaenopsis, and I've got about two of them with spikes coming on. Do I water them and then more water with a blossom booster or just blossom booster?
Well, the first thing you should recall is that you want to feed them weekly.
Yes, I do that with a regular fertilizer.
Good. And they have buds now?
Two of them do.
Okay. You probably want to use blossom booster, maybe a quarter of a teaspoon per gallon of water. It doesn't need to go into a growth cycle right now. It's really in its flowering cycle. So that would be a balanced fertilizer, which would be the same amount.
Okay, and then I had a friend that brought me one back from Hawaii, and it was just a wood spike, like a little tree thing with a couple of leaves on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's about 3 foot tall.
Yeah.
And it has not done anything, and I have no idea what it is or how big it will get. Or do I do it the same way?
Yeah, I would say so. Remember, those are grown under fairly warm conditions, fairly warm and bright.
Okay.
So the warmer and the brighter environment you can provide for it, it may. I'm not sure where in the mid at what time of the year in the Midwest those might flower.
All right.
I've never tried to grow some of those, but I know the kind you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling. And Nancy in Grafton is next. Nancy, hi.
Hi. Oh, here in Ozaukee County, in Mequon, there's a grower, Ernest Betancourt, and he grows and he hybridizes orchids. And he is just the nicest fellow. He's so happy and he's kind to share his knowledge. And he has a business, and it's in the phone book, Betancourt Acres. But I just thought I'd give him a plug because he is just the nicest fellow. And it's so interesting to see all different kinds of orchids at different stages of growth in his little greenhouse. So maybe somebody who's in the Milwaukee area, just north of Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
could go in and take advantage of Ernest and his wisdom about orchids.
I agree. I've been there. It's been quite a few years since I've been there. And the thing that I remember about him was that he was, at the time, he was experimenting with growing Phalaenopsis in straight perlite. But he likes to experiment a lot with mm-hmm. his plants. And he did have a lot of nice Phalaenopsis and other plants and at pretty good prices. So, yeah that's fine.
What's the name of the place again?
It's Betancourt Acres.
Betancourt
Acres.
Okay.
It's in Mequon.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty quick. Patricia in Madison, you're next. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I have to describe myself as a neophyte with one epiphyte. I purchased my first one back in September at a big box store at a minimal cost. And I thought, okay, for this amount of money, I can try my first one, and it's a Phalaenopsis. And I still have not all the blooms, but most of the blossoms on it from September yet. And on the long stems, there are new shoots coming out, so I've been very excited about it. And I wanted to say about the people with these black spots, I tried my own home remedy of a dilute bleach solution. I had some black spots on the underside of the leaves, and I just gently rubbed it on there and then took clean water and wiped it off, and I haven't had any problems since. And one other thing is wild orchids. I was up at Ridge's Sanctuary in Door County, and I think it was like the first or second week of July, not this past year, several years ago, and I saw yellow lady slippers and the pink ones also, the orchids.
It's a great place to visit, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call and the comments. Yeah, that. Have you been to the Ridges?
I haven't. I've had it on my list of places to go, and I just haven't gotten just free to get up there. Yeah,
that's part of the bucket list.
Eh? Yeah, that's about it. Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, we have some work callers online. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Paul just joined us from Cascade, so let's go there. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to sit down yet. That was quick. I also have an orchid from Mr. Betancourt.
Oh, good.
And it is in 100% perlite. This is the second season now. Bloomed all, maybe not all last summer, but for a long time. And it's got a new flower spike on it right now, about 6 inches long. And it seems to work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the main problem, and I can't remember what the solution he had for it, but with perlite being as light as it is, as the plant, as the roots grow, they tend to push the plant up out of the pot, which would require still some repotting, just as you would in an ordinary mix. But since the plant's not getting any nutrients from the perlite, you have to be sure that you're, you know, you're feeding it and mm-hmm. so on.
Yeah, I do every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he likes it when you take the plant out of the pot and look at the leaf, the roots.
Yes.
Yeah.
And put it back in. He says it won't hurt the thing a bit. Just
right.
Do it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good points. Thank you.
Okay.
Paul. Yeah, appreciate the call. You know, I mentioned, or I don't know if I did mention or not, I know in some promotions we've mentioned for this show that someone had asked about vanilla. Vanilla comes from a variety of orchid, does it not?
It does. In fact, it comes from the vanilla orchid. And there are they tend to grow, particularly in Central America. It's a vine, really. It's unusual in that respect. And it's... When the flowers are fertilized, and there's a special trick to doing all of that, so yeah. I won't get into that, but the seed pods are the source for the vanilla.
Okay. And so that's where all the vanilla comes from.
Yes. Well, except I believe it's synthesized now also. For the natural vanilla comes from the vanilla orchid, yes.
From the vanilla orchid. And we were talking, we've talked quite a bit about repotting. But are these the flowers, are the plants themselves always look so delicate? How do you handle them for repotting and pulling them out of the mixture and so forth?
Well, I think that is a, a problem that many people unnecessarily fear.
Okay.
There are some things that, some precautions that can be taken when you take a plant out of its pot. There's always a possibility some of the roots could be damaged. That's not a problem because those roots can form collaterals that mm-hmm. can grow also. And one of the things I like to do before I repot, because Phalaenopsis particularly have aerial roots as well as roots down in the potting mix.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I get very often is, what do people do with the aerial roots? And what I recommend is that people soak the plant, including the aerial roots, well before trying to repot it. And those aerial roots will soften up a little bit so you can get them down in the mix with minimizing the damage from the brittleness of those.
So, but you want those underneath.
It's a good idea to get them down in there. They get more humidity from the mix and nutrients. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense. Well, we have... We had a couple callers there. We lost our callers. I don't know what's happening there. Our lines are funny here because I know we had some callers on with questions. I want to go back again to the Orchid Quest 2008, Wayne, and let's just go back over that. What all can people see and what's going to be happening on the 2nd and 3rd of February?
Well, on 2nd of February, the show is open from 10 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, and that's a Saturday. And then February 3rd is Sunday, and it's open from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And there is a whole separate area, which is an exhibit area, where there's 24 orchid displays from from vendors and from orchid societies all over the Midwest and elsewhere. And then there's a main area when you enter the exhibit hall. The first thing you come upon are the vendors of orchids and supplies. And from a past experience on Saturday morning, that gets kind of jammed up because there's a lot of people there eager to look there first before going to the display area. The afternoon of each day, there are programs, seminars that people can avail themselves of those whenever they're there. And they start on Saturday at 11:30 in the morning with vanilla orchids. And then there are programs also at 1 o'clock at 2:30. It used to be scheduled at one-hour intervals, but we found there's a lot of questions and people holding over, so we schedule them at 1.5 hour. So 2:30 is the last program on Saturday. And then Sunday, again, the programs are at 11:30, 1, and 2:30.
And $6 for adults, $9 for a two-day pass, and $1 off for a senior disc. Seniors are what?
Seniors.
62 or 65 or what? You have anything on
if
that?
If somebody says they're a senior, I think we'll accept that.
Okay. All right. Steve in Madison has a question or a comment. Hi, Steve.
Hi. My question has to do with orchids and hydroponics. I've tried to grow orchids in their in the medium that I've bought, and I haven't done well, and I've wondered about doing it in hydroponics or in a aeroponic type where the nutrients are sprayed.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been done, and there are the standard hydroponic culture methods, I think, could be used with orchids as well, particularly with Phalaenopsis that are pretty much constantly in growth. I would, if you're not real familiar with hydroponic methods, I would certainly check with someone who does that. And there's, I believe, even in Madison, there is a supplier of hydroponic supplier who's familiar with. In fact, has some orchids growing there as well. So.
Oh.
Well, I'm looking forward to this show on the 2nd and 3rd. We will be there.
All right, great. Steve. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Jennifer in Janesville, hi to you.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a new orchid grower and kind of fell into it. I got an orchid at IKEA. Don't yell. And I don't know what I'm doing. I've had it for a little over a year. And it's growing out of its plastic pot. The roots are just coming right through the sides. And I know I need to repot it, but I don't know what kind of soil or substance to use. Like right now it looks like it's packed in Spanish moss or something similar.
Well, that is often the way they're marketed because that holds moisture. And a lot of these places, they don't have people that can water them as often as they ought to be. So that keeps them going. But not the best for people like you and I who have to grow them on into the future. So where do you get what it needs? Orchid potting mix should be able to be found at any place that markets orchids, and this would be a garden center or place like Home Depot. I know that if they carry orchids, they have it.
So get some of that orchid potting mix and repot that. And I hope it turns out for you. That's all we have time for, though, Jen. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Wayne, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Wayne King of the Orchid Growers Guild. Don't forget Orchid Quest 2008. Coming up February 2nd and 3rd from 10 to 5 on Saturday, 10 to 4 on Sunday at the Alliant Energy Center. And thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.